So tonight we're going to read in the third chapter of John from verse 10, and we'll stop at 17. But as I began to study this week, I knew as the week has went on for me that what I began to preach last weekend has brought all kinds of attacks on every front. I mean, I'm telling you that it has been a mental strain to get here today. But I'm happy to report that I'm still here. I refuse to give in when the devil would have us to give in. I refuse to compromise when he would have us to sit down and say, I'm too tired, I can't do it. I refuse. I'm going on. Who's with me tonight? It's the only way that we can be. We've got to go on. There's no way back. And I begin to think about where I am today. Where I am today and where you are and where you sit is as a result of God's love. Did you know that? Where you are right now is as a result of the fact alone that God loves you. Let's begin to read. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do not know, that we do know and testify that we have seen and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Humor me for a minute when I read this. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I am sure that if you have grew up in church, that these scriptures have been given to you in Sunday school, they've been taught to you, and everybody reads this scripture and can find their salvation in what they're reading right here. And tonight I am so glad, first of all, that God did send a Savior and that he sent somebody to die for my sins. Is anybody else glad tonight that you have a Savior? We might not have money from time to time. We might not have food and transportation from time to time. But the one thing that does not change is the fact that you have a Savior. And that is something to praise him for. I feel his presence moving in this place. And I do not fear the enemy, because tonight I know that what God has given is going to bless. And you need to understand one thing tonight, that we don't need to focus on just the what of this scripture. We need to understand the why of this scripture, because it is the what that gave you salvation. But what God put in my spirit is the why that he did it. When I read the words, for God so loved the world, it causes me to think about the why instead of the what. When the world would have had you to perish, God saw fit that you could be spared. When the world saw fit that you would be thrown away and never to be remembered because of your transgressions, God loved you enough to spare you. When we came to death's door, when we came to an uncertain hope of an eternal life in hell, God so loved us that we would be able to live with him forever. And I'm glad for those things, but it's hard to understand the what until you get a hold of the why. I know, and there's lost people that know that Jesus came and died for them. But what often is missing is the why. I don't give presents to people because I want them to think that I'm good. I don't give things to people because I want them to think highly of me. I give things to others because I want them to be blessed with what I worked hard for to give, that they know that what I give to them should mean something because I paid a price for them to have it. And you've got to understand tonight, you might have come in weary, and I know weariness is tough. You might have come in beat down from all week of the devil beating you up like he has me, but the one thing he cannot take from me is the why. From time to time we might lose the what, but he'll never take from me the why, because he loved me. Somebody look over at your neighbor and say, he did it because he loved you. That response from God was agape love. He did it to respond to our need. He did it not because he was obligated to, or not by some kind of contract, but he simply did it because he loved us. I want you to begin to unwrap the fact tonight that God was sent into the world as man, as Jesus Christ, and as he was given to mankind, you might look at the cross as some symbol of pain. You might look at the tomb as some kind of bad experience that Jesus went through, but I want to unwrap this in a totally different way than maybe what you've thought about it tonight. If you turn with me into the book of Acts in the first chapter, I want to read one verse to you from there, and I want to bring out a specific word that takes the cross's pain and turns it into something totally different, and I'll share with you exactly what God put in my spirit. Read verse 3 of the first chapter, and it says, to whom also he showed himself alive, and make note of this phrase, after his passion, say the word passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And I began to think about that, and I've looked at the cross all my life, and I've looked at the nails that were drove in, I've looked at the fact that they tortured him, I'm looked into all the things that Christ went through, but the one thing that has escaped me from time to time is what held him on the cross. At any point in time, Christ could have called thousands of angels to come and get him. At any time, he could have said that death was too much, that he could have said, just come and get me out of this tomb. But there had to be something that held him on to the cross. And I'm glad to know that when I look at the cross today, I don't just look at it as some kind of pain that he suffered, but I don't look at what made him to hurt, but I look at what caused him to hold on. I look at the cross now and I read the phrase, for God so loved the world. Don't you dare think that it was the nails that kept him on the cross. He had the power of God and could have came off of there. Don't you think that it was the whipping that caused him to give up? He could have healed himself of the pain that he was going through. Don't think it was the mockery that caused him to give in to the way that they deemed him to die. Don't think that it was on the Roman authority that caused him to die the way he did. Don't think it was because of Pilate's power that caused him to go through what he went through. What held him on the cross, what kept him in the tomb, and what caused him to rise again is the fact that God so loved you. He loved you before you ever loved him. The love that we want today is contingent upon what you get in return. And if you don't give to prove your love, then they do not believe that you love them. But God didn't need any proof or return to first love us. And that's what makes it amazing. When we could have died in sickness, God said, I love you too much for you to bear this without a way out. When we would have been lost and without a hope in the world, the salvation that we received was the greatest gift that brought us freedom to the life that we live now. And as I begin to see how he suffered for my life, I see that as they pierced into his side, the very love and passion that he had was opened up. The veil was torn in the temple. Dead people began to rise out of the grave. There began to be things that happened that showed that it was so much more than enduring a little pain. What shows the love of God in you is the same love that Jesus had that made him willing to hold on to the cross. And you might want to look at your situation and say it's too painful to survive. You might want to look at your circumstance and say, I'm not going to get through this thing. But let me offer the gift of why tonight. Let me offer unto you the reason that Jesus Christ held on to make us a way of escape. It was that he first loved us, that we were able to have the freedom of decision to believe. And by that, and you can take this lightly, you can ignore me if you want to, but nothing can take away from me the fact that when I accepted him, I gained a freedom I wouldn't have had I not accepted it. People might come against you as a minister. They may not enjoy you as a minister. They may not amen you when you sing. They may not appreciate when you teach. You might go through seasons where you're hurting and you still got to preach. There may be seasons when nobody understands what you're dealing with, but you still got to do it. But I want to tell you that the same love that caused him to hang on to the cross for us is the same love that was given to God for us, that we would be able to endure the sufferings of this life. He didn't say that we would go through this life without suffering, but he said he made what? A way of escape. Let me bring this out in a different way. You do not have to go through life without a comfort, because the comfort was given so that when you suffer, you'll be able to hold on. You'll be able to hang on to the nails and say, I'm willing to do this. You'll be able to be cussed out and turn the other cheek and say, it's all right with me. You'll be able to bear the burden that is given to you to bear. And I had to bring all that out to get to this point. Jesus Christ did not come as a spare tire. He did not come as an emergency roadside kit. He did not come as insurance to only help when everything goes wrong. He come for all of us in spite of all our faults. But here's what happens. We wait until the devil is on our doorstep. We wait until we begin to feel anxiety before we begin to unwrap what we were given. But Jesus didn't get off the cross and say, you should know that I love you. He held on to perform his purpose. There's something to be said when the Bible says that we are heirs and joint heirs. If we are covered by the blood of Christ, then that means we are kindred unto him. And if we possess the spirit that he said would come when he would go, then that tells me that we have more than we're letting on to, that we have to overcome a few things out there. I'm going to hold right there for a second. We have more than what we're bargaining for. This wasn't some person that was only willing to go part of the way to see your deliverance. This wasn't somebody that looked at their bank account and said, I can only help you so far and you're going to have to go the rest of the way. But when you were in the pits of despair, and when you didn't have a friend, and when you didn't know the way, there was something that come that you would understand that you didn't have to live that way. Look over and tell three people, you don't need to live this way. Beat up. Bound up, beat up, bound up. I'm there to tell you, it's a part of your walk with Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, that means you can think and understand the will of God. And if you can understand the will of God, we don't treat the cross as something that we want to run from, but yet we need to learn to treat it as something that we're ready to bear. Because until we're ready to bear something, we do not show that we love anybody. If you only give a gift just to get a gift, then it is not true love. If you give of yourself expecting something in return, then it is not agape love. The kind of love I'm talking about would be to give your last dime, to go the extra mile, and to give all of yourself without ever asking anything in return. And there's only one love I've ever found that is like that. And that's the love that we're talking about tonight. He so loved. We didn't deserve it. He didn't say he loved us because of something. He just loved us. There's a world out there. I cannot stress this enough. And I'm not going to back down from this. Because if you're not looking out there to the needs out there, you're missing the whole reason you got saved. There are people out there right now that do not understand that they have someone that loves them. So that when the world comes tempting them, they give in to the weakness of their flesh instead of being able to hold on and endure a season. The Lord wants you to take advantage of the gift that you have been given, and all that he would ask in return is that you be thankful for what you have. Amen. How do we do that, Brother Jared? Well, if there's a house of God to assemble in, he would have you to assemble. The Bible said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. If you have the ability to give and be benevolent, he would have you to be benevolent because he has blessed you to be benevolent. If he has given you the ability to sing, he would want you to be a singer. He wants people to operate in what they have been given. And the more that we begin to give of ourselves, you know what happens? We get tired. Oh, I'm going to have to go there because I feel it. Go to church 4 to 5 years and still waiting on something to happen. We begin to get discouraged because we're not seeing it yet. And friends, I was on that roller coaster for a long time. But I finally learned to realize that it is not the cross and the pain that makes it miraculous. It's the fact that he held on because he loved us. There's something to be said about enduring something with a true heart of love. Because without love, prophecy doesn't mean anything. Without love, tongues are just a noise. Without love, obedience is in vain. Without love and charity to come in and mean something with what you're doing, then you're only giving just to get something in return. He didn't save you just to be a beggar. He didn't save you just to say, give me, give me, give me. He wants you to understand that what you've already been given is more than enough to overcome what's out there. Amen. Some people think if they receive speaking in tongues that it's going to solve all their problems. But it's just a gift out of what God has given you. It's just a deeper realization of what you've got. But you've got to learn to use what you've got and understand the purpose of it before we can begin to receive greater things. Let me put it to you like this. Until I was willing to be satisfied in my current employment and do my job with a sincere heart, only then was a door opened. Let me put it to you another way. Until I was able to forgive and let go of things that had been done against me, instead of seeking justice for myself, only then did I see the door be opened. Until I was willing to let everybody else in the world preach and obey God and support them the way I would want to be supported, only then was the door opened in my life. Until I was able to say that I was proud of people and support them and be an encouragement to them and give of myself without always wanting to gain, only then did I see the true blessings of God begin to come to life. We can't live our life on the world's give and take, because it'll take you for all that you've got. And what's happening is, as we do not teach the proper way to be a Christian, people are living in give and take. And they only want a certain sermon, and they don't want you to touch none of their problems, because they're happy exactly where they are. And the moment that you begin to get inside of their business, they ain't going to tithe your church. They're not going to amen the preaching. They're not going to lift their hands and worship to that singer. Because when it gets about that and no love in our heart, it is ineffective. And I'm here to confess and tell you that 75% of places that we attend, visit, and sing are churches without a true root of love. You want to know how you know? Because if you're just treated like a number, then they only care about when you're in the seat. You are so much more than a number.
Do you know that? I'm not preaching to 5,000 tonight, but my heart feels like I am. You are not a number. You are not just another person. You are somebody that God loved enough to save. He didn't determine any respect between brother A and sister B. He doesn't have any favoritism over one versus another. That tells me that the moment we accept Christ, we step into all the things that we have been given by God. You know what that means? You have the ability to pray and it means something. You have the ability to rebuke the enemy in temptations, and the Bible says it will flee from you. We have the ability to believe by faith for what we desire, even though we don't even see it, and God still loves us enough to move it. We have the ability to get down and repent for the things that we've done wrong, and He's merciful enough to love us and forgive us. We have the ability to walk by grace, that even though we've fallen down 7 times in the week, that we can still be able to get back up and be stronger.